From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id.
Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. Minister Sri Mulyani affirms education system should support green transition in the economy. Deputy Chairperson of MPR Lestari Mordiat states political will is needed to tackle childhood diabetes. And here is the news in detail. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati underscored or highlighted the need for improvement in the nation's education system to support green transition in Indonesia's economy. As reported by Antara, she remarked via video broadcast during Inclusive Lifelong Learning Conference or ILLC on Wednesday that the government supports the transition and disruption through automatization, digitization, and green transition for Indonesia's economy. However, it needs an appropriate education system. Minister Sri Mulyani also noted a proper education system will prevent the shift of workforce due to the automatization, digitization, and green transition. Deputy Chairperson of People's Consultative Assembly or MPR, Lestari Mordiat, have emphasized that political will is needed on part of policymakers for tackling cases of diabetes in children. As reported by Antara, according to Lestari Mordiat at Denpasar 12 discussion forum, followed online on Wednesday, the lifestyle of consuming foods and drinks with high sugar has become uncontrollable. It has even become children's habit. Therefore, political will to protect the future of Indonesian children is needed. The delegations of ASEAN Committee on Women and the ASEAN High-Level Dialogue Conference visited the Sidoarjo village Sleman, Yogyakarta on Wednesday to study the village that has been stipulated as a village of peace. They also tried a musical instrument, namely Gejok Lesung, a traditional music game, in Sidoarjo village Sleman Regency. Guided by the founder of the Wahid Foundation, Zanuba Arifah Chafsoh, or Yeni Wahid, the ASEAN delegation seemed to be happy to try the traditional Japanese musical instrument. Besides learning the local culture, the delegates also studied the economic empowerment of women in the village of Sidoarjo. Yeni Wahid told the media that the concept of a peaceful village that was studied by delegates from ASEAN members originated from an idea conceptualized by the Wahid Foundation to empower women without abandoning existing cultural values.
Ini juga tentunya kita harus menularkan.
We must also transmit ideas by using language they understand, of course the local language, but also by using religious jargon and using traditional one. Thus, it's using a language that they understand too. But we communicate by using values that they have always believed in, but let's try to change them slowly, or we perfect them by showing that what we facilitating women, it doesn't conflict with religion. It doesn't conflict with customs, and it doesn't conflict with family needs. The mother still exists for their children.
Tidak bertentangan dengan adat, tidak bertentangan dengan kebutuhan keluarga, bahwa ibunya tetap ada untuk anak-anaknya.
Meanwhile, Deputy Region of Sleman, Danang Maharsa, on the same occasion pointed out that the empowerment of women and children in Sleman continuously receives national recognition. This proves that many women's empowerment and child protection programs are running well. Representative delegates are from ASEAN member countries who discuss women's empowerment issues compiled by the Ministry of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection in a bid to take part in the ASEAN Women Forum Peace and Security Summit. This takes place in Yogyakarta from July the 3rd until the 7th, 2023. The activity is held within the framework of Indonesia's role in the 2023 ASEAN Chairmanship. The head of National Counterterrorism Agency, or BNPT, Rico Emelza Daniel, has said the number of terror attacks carried out in Indonesia is showing a declining trend. He remarked on Wednesday that violence-based terrorism prevention and countermeasures have shown a positive trend, as seen by the decline in terror attacks in Indonesia from year to year. According to the IK Hub BNPT Counterterrorism and Violent Extremism Outlook platform, Indonesia recorded 49 terror attacks in 2018 until 2022. 19 terror attacks were recorded in 2018. Their number declined to 11 or 2 consecutive years in 2019 and 2020, and then further to 6 in 2021 and 2 in 2022. The Indonesian Health Ministry has said the World Health Organization hasn't classified the Omicron EU11 subvariant as a threatening coronavirus that needs to be anticipated by the countries. As quoted by Antara, Head of Ministry's Communication and Public Service Bureau, Siti Nadia Tarmizi in Jakarta Wednesday said that the EU11 case has not been found in Indonesia as the World Health Organization hasn't given a warning because it is still included in the variant under monitoring list. Renewed military support for Ukraine will top the agenda as NATO prepares for its annual two-day summit July 11th and 12th in Vilnius, Lithuania. Kyiv is urging the alliance to fast-track its membership application at the meeting. As reported by VOA.com, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg confirmed Tuesday that he would extend his term for another year as the West seeks to maintain unity amid Russia's aggression. Ukraine formally applied to join NATO in September last year in response to Russia's proclaimed annexation of territories it invaded in the east of the country. Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky has called for NATO to offer a clear and rapid path to membership. Tehran's judge d'affaires to London, Mehdi Hosseini Martin, has said the UK, France and Germany risk the collapse of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action nuclear deal if they fail to lift sanctions on Iranian missile development as agreed. As reported by ArabNews.com, speaking on the eve of a UN Security Council debate on Iran, Martin said on Wednesday that such a breach of terms of the deal would affect the atmosphere around recent bilateral talks in Oman between Iran and the US to secure a separate mini-agreement covering the release of US prisoners, maintaining aspects of the nuclear deal, and the release of Iranian assets frozen abroad. The Vietnam Tourism Association's Wednesday conference set out tasks and solutions to accelerate tourism recovery and its effective sustainable development. As reported by VOVworld.vn, implementing a government resolution dated May 2023 and celebrating the 63rd anniversary of Vietnam's tourism industry, the delegates agreed on developing tourism products to meet the needs of tourists and stepping up promotion. They stressed the need to coordinate with the state management agencies, organizations, and individuals abroad to introduce new policies on the entry and exit of Vietnam in order to attract more international tourists. Nguyen Trung Khan, director of the Vietnam National Administration of Tourism, said, "Visa policy, the most difficult problem, has been removed. That is only a necessary condition." Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Commemorating 50 years of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and South Korea, the Indonesian Embassy in Seoul held a commemorative forum which became an important moment to discuss bilateral and strategic cooperation between the two countries. The event, which was organized in collaboration with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of South Korea and the Korean Association for Southeast Asian Studies, took place in Seoul. In the opening session, Professor Dr. John Jae-seong, Chairman of the Korean Association for Southeast Asian Studies, highlighted the importance of cooperation between Indonesia and Korea for 50 years in research development. On the other hand, President Joko Widodo's working visit to South Korea in 2022 reflects the commitment of the two countries to continue to strengthen bilateral relations. Meanwhile, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of South Korea, Mr. Park Jin, as the main speaker, said that the 50th anniversary of Indonesia-Korea diplomatic relation was the right opportunity to discuss future cooperation, especially in the political, security, economic, and social cultural fields. Dr. N. Hasan Wirayuda, Minister of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia from 2001 to 2009, was also present as the keynote speaker and highlighted the increasing bilateral relations between Indonesia and South Korea from year to year. These two countries share democratic principles and high respect for human rights. It is hoped that the cooperation between the two countries, including between their communities, will be further strengthened. The Indonesia-South Korea Diplomatic Relations Commemoration Forum was divided into three sessions to discuss political and security, economic, as well as social and cultural cooperation. In his closing remarks, the Indonesian ambassador to Seoul, Gandhi Sulistianto, appreciated the holding of the 50 years of Indonesia-Korea Forum by the South Korean Ministry of Foreign Affairs and related parties. He hopes that the result of this forum can be implemented in practice by all parties, not only the government.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back! This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners. From Indonesia to the world.
Listener, we begin today in history on July 6 with an event in 1940, Kemayoran Airport started operating. Kemayoran Airport is the first airport in Indonesia which was opened for scheduled international flights. The airport runway was built in 1934 and officially opened on July 8, 1940. But actually, this airport has started operating since July 6, 1940, starting with the landing of the first DC-3 Dakota aircraft owned by the Dutch East Indies Airline, Koninklijke Nederlandse Indische Luchtvaart Maatschappij, or KNILM. This aircraft continued to operate at Kemayoran Airport until the end of the airport's operating period. Kemayoran Airport was officially terminated its operation on 31st March 1985 when the flight's activities were moved to Soekarno-Hatta International Airport. We move to the next event in 1975 when Comoros gained its independence. The Comoros Islands is a former French colony. The country finally gained its independence on July 6, 1975 and separated. While the large islands around the Comoros decided to join France, they are the islands of Mayotte, Greater Comoros, Anjouan, and Mohel. Because it was a former French colony, the Comoros still use French to communicate. However, as they also joined the Arab League, the Comoros uses more Arabic for daily conversation. The government system adopted by the Comoros is the Federal Presidential Republic, and just like Indonesia, the president may only serve for 2 periods with a term of office of 5 years. We end with an event in 2007 when the International Olympic Committee approved the Youth Olympics. The Youth Olympic Games is a sporting event which is held every 4 years to complement the Olympic Games and attended by athletes aged between 14 to 18 years. The idea for the Youth Olympics was launched by the president of the International Olympic Committee, Jacques Roche. The 119th International Olympic Committee meeting in Guatemala, Central America, approved the creation of a youth version of the Olympics. The first Youth Olympiad was finally held for the first time in 2010 in Singapore. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Tergambar. cerita tentang kita. Terpisah jarak dan waktu, ingin kuungkapkan rindu lewat kata indah. Tak cukup untuk dirimu, sebab kau terlalu indah dari sekedar kata. Dunia berhenti sejenak menikmati indahmu. Dan apabila tak bersamamu, kupastikan ku jalani dunia tak seindah kemarin. Sederhana tertawamu sudah cukup, lengkapi sempurnanya hawamu. Percuma senyumku dengan dia. Kau terlalu indah dari sekedar kata. Dunia berhenti sejenak menikmati indahmu.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Minister of Environment and Forestry has asked the regional government to collaborate in supporting greenhouse gas emission reductions in Indonesia. Director General for Climate Change Control at the Ministry, Laksmi Dewanti, on Tuesday said that the greenhouse gas emission reduction target is a common target that can be achieved not only by the central government, but also the regional government, the people, business sector, and stakeholders, especially in Maluku and Papua. She further said that Indonesia is committed to the National Determined Contribution, or NDC, to adapt and mitigate climate change so that the greenhouse gas emission can be reduced by 31.89% in 2038. Indonesia has been implementing adaptations and mitigation acts since 2009 and carrying out greenhouse effect assessment to measure the greenhouse gas level in Indonesia. Laksmi Dewanti also explained that data between 2010 to 2021 showed that the greenhouse gas emission in Indonesia is always under the target every year. This means that the government is yet to optimally achieve it, despite efforts and being on the right path. The consistency in the commitment is expected from everyone. A permanent solution is being done, such as forest and land fire control. It's not when the fire occurs, but far from that.
She invited the regional governments to do prevention, to ensure small fires that can be put out, and to do rehabilitation. In controlling the forest fires, Indonesia has been able to reduce the burning area and frequency from time to time.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Pasir Panjang Tourism Village. Traveling to Central Kalimantan, there is a tourism village, namely Pasir Panjang, worth visiting. This tourism village is inhabited by the Dayak tribe, who still maintain their cultural traditions. Traveling to this village, you will be presented with various tourism potentials, such as traditional tourism, cultural tourism, and ecotourism. The tourist village is located not far from Iskandar Pangkalan Bun Airport, or about a 5-minute drive. There are various interesting places at the tourism village of Pasir Panjang. One of them is Rumah Betang Pasir Panjang House. Rumah Betang is a traditional Dayak house in the form of a long stilt house. In ancient times, Rumah Betang was inhabited by several Dayak families. The philosophy is that there is a relationship of mutual attachment and solidarity between families. It is free of charge to enter the courtyard around the Pasir Panjang traditional house. You can take fun pictures around the grassy yard. If you like to play in the water, you can bathe and swim in the Pasir Panjang River. This river has red-brown water because it is exposed to the roots of the trees in the upper reaches of the river. There are shallow and deep parts of the river. Children and adults can enjoy swimming in this river because the water is cold and flows calmly. Not far from Betang Pasir Panjang House, or about walking 5 minutes on foot, there is the Kaharingan Dayak Traditional Cemetery. The most interesting thing of the funeral ceremony is that if the Dayak Kaharingan tribe usually holds the dead ceremony with the Tiwah ceremony held for several days to deliver the spirit of the deceased, the Dayak people of Pasir Panjang only buries the dead like Muslims or Christians. However, the difference is in the way of carrying the corpse from home to the cemetery, namely by getting out the coffin with the corpse through the window. If the window is too small, it will be cut to allow the coffin out of the house. Another interesting tourism spot that you can visit is the Orang Utan Care and Quarantine Center. It is a place to rehabilitate orang utans who need care and quarantine. In this place, there is a training forest for orang utans, so they are ready to be released into their habitat. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Namun, mengapa kau aku yang kau lupa. Tak sadarkah selama ini ku juga selalu menginginkanmu. Mengapa sulit untuk ku bisa miliki hatimu? Bahkan selama ini hadirku tak berharga untukmu. Yang terjadi kini, ku hanya rumah persinggahanmu. Di saat kau terluka dan di saat semuanya reda, kau menghilang begitu saja. Jadi tujuan saat hati terluka, aku yang jadi obatnya. Tanpa pernah kau hargai cinta dan kasih yang setulus ini. Mengapa begitu saja.
Listeners, thank you. You are still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Miscellany for today has a topic, Jakarta uses AI technology to help reduce traffic jams. Listeners, Jakarta Transportation Agency installed artificial intelligence AI technology. This technology is used as an effort to break down congestion. According to the head of Jakarta Transportation Agency, Syafrin Liputo, there are 20 intersections that have implemented AI principles with an intelligent transport system at traffic lights. Syafrin said the application of AI technology had the effect of monitoring and setting the time at traffic lights based on information from Google's internal database. According to him, the application of AI can also strengthen the function of the traffic management system or adaptive forces that is implemented and calculate the actual volume of traffic at intersections. With AI technology, the agency can find out the comparison between road capacity and traffic density on that road. When the traffic light monitor which intersection are congested at those points will be given more or longer green light priority. Then, with the application of AI technology, the agency also give priority to public transport routes such as Transjakarta. So, the AI system will read automatically if Transjakarta passes. It will be given priority green light to pass first. There are 20 location points in Jakarta that already use artificial intelligence or AI technology. This year, the agency plans to add 40 more intersections that will be equipped with AI technology as an effort to reduce traffic jams in Jakarta. The use of AI technology to break down traffic jams in Jakarta is a collaboration between the DKI Jakarta Transportation Agency and Google Indonesia. That's Miss Seleni.
Kalau harus ku mengingatmu lagi, aku takkan sanggup dengan yang terjadi pada kita. Jika melupakanmu hal yang mudah, ini takkan berat, takkan membuat hatiku lelah. Kalau akui aku kalah, cinta ini pahit dan tak harus memiliki. Jika aku bisa, ku akan kembali, ku akan merubah takdir cinta yang ku pilih. Meskipun tak mungkin, walaupun ku mau bawa kamu lewat mesin waktu. Jika melupakanmu hal yang mudah, ini takkan berat, takkan membuat hatiku lelah. Panjang perjalanan yang harus ku lalui, merelakanmu. Jika aku bisa, ku akan kembali, ku akan merubah takdir cinta yang ku pilih. Meskipun tak mungkin, walaupun ku mau membawa kamu lewat mesin waktu. Akan merubah takdir cinta yang ku pilih, meskipun tak mungkin,
walaupun ku mau membawa kamu. Oh, jika aku bisa, ku akan kembali, ku akan merubah takdir cinta yang ku pilih. Meskipun tak mungkin, walaupun ku mau. Membawa kamu lewat mesin waktu.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. Now, a song from Ruth Sahanaya we're coming up for you. First of all, Ruth Sahanaya, or Ute, is an Indonesian pop diva. She debuted with her successful album Seputih Kasih, or White as Love, in 1987. Ruth Sahanaya became more famous with the song Kaulah Segalanya, or You Are Everything. The song is about someone who feels that the one they love is everything, because they have made life feel more worthwhile. Kaulah Segalanya has become an everlasting hit, making some Indonesian musicians recycle the song, such as Claresta and Sammy Simorangkir. Well, listener, here is the original version of Kaulah Segalanya by Ruth Sahanaya.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia. Indonesia.
All right, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at VOI Indonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.